Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast, truly one of the most unusual ever recorded, contains dribble, slang, and frank discussion of subject matter which under no circumstances should be heard by small children, persons with a heart condition, or anyone who is upset easily. If you are such a person, or if you're the parent of a very small child in the room, we urge you to switch off your streaming device now.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Cam, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Yeah. Just kidding.
Wow, that's kind of half-assed.
Well,
but okay.
You know, I don't. It's a little early, Jen, and you know what I'm saying? It's a little early, a little sunshiny out today, which is nice because it's been rainy. So yeah, that's it. 2020. Bring it. Hope it's better than 2019.
I'm sure it is.
It's gotta be.
Anyway, I hope you had a great holiday season, everyone. We are ready to start this new year filled with murder and mayhem. Yeah.
With a little bit of banner on the side, right? It's like a TV dinner meal, right? Like your frozen meat product with a little bit of veggie and then like that apple plum thing dessert. You know, the old fashioned TV dinners.
But how is that?
Murder, mayhem with a little bit of banner. So it's, you know, meat, veggie, and a little bit of dessert. Our podcast. Okay. In my head, it all makes sense. That's all I got to say about that. Anyway, Jen, how was your holiday? Good?
Holiday was good. I am so glad it's over. I have to suffer. Today is Sunday. We're actually recording it for Wednesday.
I'm just excited to hear about your story. So I say, let's just hit it running. Let's go.
In the summer of 2012, London was abuzz with excitement of being the host of the Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. Close to 11,000 athletes from over 200 countries flooded the city for what's considered to be the most important sports competition. Over 900 million people globally watched the event. But in early August 2012, hundreds of people in London turned their attention away from the Games to a town just an hour away to focus on the disappearance of a young 12-year-old girl. Newspapers reported that Tia Sharp had been staying the weekend with her grandparents. On Friday, August 3rd, about midday, she left their house in New Addington to go to the shops to buy flip-flops in Croydon, which was about 4 miles away from the home. Within 36 hours of Tia's disappearance, over 200 people in the neighborhood would be out searching. Celebrities would tweet info to help spread information in hopes of finding the newly turned 12-year-old. By August 10th, London would mourn the sexually motivated murder of a young, confident, happy child.
Aww, I don't know the story.
Tia Sharp was born June 30th, 2000, to Natalie Sharp. Now, Natalie was barely 18 by the time Tia was born.
That's young.
Tia's father, Stephen, had been out of the picture by the time Tia was born. They had had a fight, obviously, and Stephen left. Now, Tia had seen her father on holidays in the past, but in the 2 years before Tia went missing, he had not seen her due to an argument that Stephen had had with Natalie, and Natalie pretty much told Stephen he was not allowed to see Tia anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, at the time of Tia's birth, Tia lived with her mother and her grandmother, Christine. Now, when I say grandmother, you're thinking of the wrong kind of grandmother. Now, Christine was only 16 when she gave birth to Natalie.
Oh.
So she was, I think, 37.
Not even 40. Yeah.
Right. Oof. When Tia was born. So they were all three very close. 12 years later, at the time of Tia's disappearance, Tia lived with Natalie and her partner, David. And they had been together for about 8 years. And Tia considered David her father. Mm-hmm. Tia also had two younger brothers who were 1 and 3 years old by the time Tia disappeared. And Tia was also extremely close to her maternal grandmother, Christine, who I mentioned earlier. And Christine worked as a care support worker, which is pretty much like a home nurse, mm-hmm. I'm assuming.
Home health care, I guess.
home health care, not exactly nurse, not an RN.
I got you. They come and check on
somebody there. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If there's somebody there staying the night or whatever. Now, Christine had a live-in partner. His name was Stuart Hazel. He was a window cleaner, and he was 10 years younger than Christine.
You go, girl.
Christine had met Stuart in 2002 when she was tending bar in a pub. In 2007, they started dating and moved in together in a little apartment condo type thing in New Addington, South London. Now, New Addington is kind of a financially depressed area. They're not just depressed because they're poor. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But you know the type of you know the type of area. It's high unemployment, not a lot of people that have a lot of education, mm-hmm. many teenage moms, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying.
Lower income.
Lower income, and it's all good. Everybody's lovely. I mean, and it's kind of funny. They were talking about the town, and one of the guys, there was some, I guess, a riot in the area in 2011, and the guy at the pub was saying how close everybody is and how they always fought for everybody, you know, they always fought for their town. And he's like, when the riots happened, everybody came here to the pub to fight for the pub. They didn't want to see anything happen to the pub.
Well, thank goodness.
Amen, brother. Seriously. I'd go to the pub too. Yeah.
I mean, if ever a time you need a pub, it's something like that. Yep.
I know. It just made me, you know, screw the schools, but damn it, we've got the pub.
God save the pub.
Exactly. It just struck me as funny. But anyway, little fact about Stuart. Stuart and Natalie, the mm-hmm. daughter, mm-hmm. had a brief affair before Christine started dating him.
Really?
Yeah.
Ew. Ew.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. That shouldn't ever happen.
I just think that'd make the holiday dinners a little awkward. That's
all. You'd think. Well, it seemed to be perfect here. Now, Stuart did have a history of drugs and alcohol, but Christine didn't let him drink or do drugs when she was around her family. He tended to get quite obnoxious and violent when he drank. And he also had a bit of a past, like 30 criminal convictions, petty theft, and he served two different prison sentences, one for dealing crack cocaine and the other one for assault. And he also was pretty racist, and I believe that's what this assault had to do.
Oh, like racial crimes. So he would,
racial assault. In 2020, Stuart is sentenced to 12 months in jail for carrying a machete. But Christine stands by him and says he's nothing like that at home. And actually, she calls him her gentle giant. He's really, the family loves him. He's good with the kids. He's a member of the family.
Just a little bit racist.
Even though
carries a machete.
He loves every generation of that family. Like, grandkids loved him. Stuart and Christine were head over heels in love. And Tia loved Stuart, too. She called him granddad. He came into her life when she was two. Mm-hmm. So she's the only grandfather she's ever known. So Tia also spent a lot of time with her grandparents in New Addington. She called it a place of peace. She was away from her two brothers. What's not to love about that, you know? She was born in that house. And she was planning to move in when she turned 16. Now, I believe in England, the school system, you only have to go to 16 and you can get out. And then the other 2 years are considered pre-college or something like that.
Oh,
I don't know.
Here.
I'm kind of, it's, I don't understand exactly. I think I read that correctly. I could be wrong. So Tia idolized her granddad. She thought he hung the moon. And in fact, I said, thought she hung the moon and sharts. God, I love typos. So
maybe he did. Maybe he did. We don't know.
Maybe he was a sharter.
That's right.
He looked like a sharter.
Oh.
Tia idolized her grandfather, Stuart, and she thought he hung the moon and stars. And in fact, Tia loved him so much that on her 12th birthday, they were going to go to Chessington, which is some kind of theme park resort. Zoo area in London, mm-hmm. huge. And she got to bring one friend. And who did she pick? Stuart. She picked Stuart to go with her.
Not what sweet? I would have said. Yeah.
I wouldn't, at 12 years old, there's no way in hell. I wouldn't even want my parents to go.
No. Well, they got to go, but they got to drop you off and they need to walk like 50 feet behind you at all times.
Exactly. Okay, go ahead. And hopefully they won't wear their slippers.
Oh, Lord.
Tia was a very confident and happy girl. I mean, she made friends easily. She didn't have any problems letting anybody know her thoughts or her feelings. She could stand up for herself. She was a fighter. She was very spunky. I mean, you watch videos of these girls and I'm like, love this girl, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Although she was only 5'4", she was really quite a firecracker is what they called her. She was small in stature, but large in personality. Tia also did really, really well in school and her teachers loved her, but it seemed her attendance or lack of attendance caused a concern. In 2008, social services raised concern over Natalie and David's cannabis use. A report described the family as dysfunctional. Now, I want to say, find me a family that's not in any way
Yeah.
It's claimed that there was an inappropriate tolerance for the cannabis use in her environment, which, okay.
What's that mean exactly? Like
inappropriate tolerance? Maybe that they just did it freely and a lot, maybe. Okay. But although there was drug use and they smoked weed, there was no evidence that Tia was abused or neglected.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can get back to where the day Tia goes missing. On Thursday, August 2nd, 2012, Tia texts Stuart asking if she could come over to stay for a few nights. She would go over that afternoon, then come back home on Monday. Stuart texts her mother back, texts Natalie back, saying he doesn't care if Tia comes, but says that Christine wouldn't be there. So Natalie asks Tia if that's okay and if she still wants to go. And Tia's like, yeah, yes, I want to go. And then Natalie said that Tia wrapped her arms around her, gave her a great big hug, gave her a kiss, and Tia went off to pack. And that's the last time she ever saw Tia.
On a side note, if Stuart's a bad guy, I'm going to be really upset right now. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Christine tells police that later in the evening, she called home and she hears Tia laughing in the background. Tia and Stuart had been playing video games and were joking with each other. So the next morning, Stuart said that Tia came down the stairs about 10:30 or 11 and was playing with her Nintendo DS while he was cleaning up the house. Stuart said, quote, she'd been going on about going to Croydon and getting up early. She came downstairs, sat down, watched telly, played the DS. Stuart said Tia had been talking to him, but he wasn't paying close attention since he was cleaning, which we all do, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
In one ear, out the other.
Right.
He said he'd been vacuuming when she went out. Quote, she walked past me from the front room to go out. She said she was going out and she was going to meet so-and-so. I didn't catch the name. And she walked out the front door. That is all I know. It wasn't until later that I noticed she left her phone charging.
Oh, we all know about little girls and phones.
Mm-mm. Exactly. They thought Tia only had $10 in cash, and that's because Stuart had claimed that he gave Tia $10 to buy the shoes, the flip-flops. But she left without her Oyster card, which is a transportation card good for buses or the tram. And she left her cell phone. Now, not many kids leave without their cell phone, right?
Mm-mm.
I hate to leave without my cell phone. Now, this is confusing, but Tia's stepfather, David, his mother, which would be her step-grandmother, even commented to the media that Tia normally had her phone glued to her hand. So she was curious as to why she left the phone. Now, Stuart said that he had told her to charge it and that she must have just left it on the charger and went out. Mm-hmm. Now, also, Tia going into town wasn't a big deal. She's done it a lot of times before. She was 12. It was only 4 miles. You know, they just wanted everybody to know that it was something that was normal.
Right.
That she was able to do. Around 2:30 in the afternoon, Christine comes home from work. Stuart was alone in the house, laying on the couch, watching TV. And Christine asked him where Tia was. Stuart told her that Tia had gone shopping and said she'd be home by 6. When 6 o'clock came around, Tia wasn't home. Christine called Natalie to check to see if maybe Tia had gone home, if she'd seen her, anything. Natalie said, nope, haven't seen her. And then they started to panic. So the family got in the car and started searching the area. And by 10 o'clock in the evening, when it became clear that they couldn't find Tia, they went to the police station.
Wow.
And they, you know, the documentary I watched, they're like, you know, I know we should have gone sooner, but we just knew we would find her.
You don't think that. Like, I've had those panic moments where you lose a kid. Everybody has.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you panic, but you're like, I'm sure they're, you know, hiding under whatever.
Oh, yeah. I lost Hadley at a store one time, and she was in the clothing rack. like in those round clothing racks.
Yep.
Panic and your heart just, it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine what it's like to really.
Mm-mm. Let's not.
Later that same night, police did a quick search through Tia's grandparents' house. And that was about midnight, by the way. They also checked some social media sites along with phone records and Tia's computer. They just wanted to check to see if maybe Tia met up with somebody she shouldn't have, as they're apt to do. But there's no sign that Tia had a boyfriend. She wasn't having any trouble at school. Plus, she had never gone missing before. She was a happy girl. She was happy in her life. Mm-hmm. You know, police were pretty confident that she wasn't a runaway. Thank God, most police would automatically think runaway, right? Mm-hmm. How many cases have we covered like this, right?
Mm-hmm. Where they she just ran away.
Mm-hmm. Call us in 12 hours if you still haven't found her. Police believed Tia was taken within moments of leaving the apartment. There had been reports of a white van that had been seen in the area and that had been bothering kids. They had been looking for the van, but they hadn't been able to find it. And Tia's mother didn't believe that she had been abducted. She said that Tia would have fought like mad if that would have happened and would have drawn attention.
You never know, though, but yes.
You don't.
I mean, you'd think, but
you would hope.
If you're caught off guard, you know.
Within 36 hours after it was announced Tia was missing, the media swarmed the house in New Addington and parked right outside Christine's house. The family couldn't go anywhere without having to walk through a sea of reporters that just badgered them and hounded them with questions every day.
Was she a really cute little girl like this?
She was cute and spunky.
A media darling thing, you know what I mean?
Well, right before there was another incident of a missing girl. So okay. I think that had something to do with it.
Got you. I was trying to, I mean, you never know. Sometimes a poor kid goes missing and you never even see it in the news. And then other times, for some reason, it's everywhere all the time.
Right. 8,000 leaflets were passed out with a picture of Tia and her description of what she was wearing when she went missing. She was 5'4", slim build, brown hair with glasses, last seen wearing a yellow tank top, gray leopard print leggings, and black and pink Nike high tops. A Facebook page was set up and almost immediately it had over 7,000 hits. And can I tell you, this family, if this happens, I'm sure this happens a lot, but this family had trolls. They had phone calls from people saying that they had had Tina and or that they had taken Tina and the police were sent there and they were in Scotland and they were just drunk men calling, saying this shit. I mean, that is
I don't understand that. I really don't either. If they get a thrill off that or what, I don't understand. It's just like Twitter.
I know.
Twitter infuriates me. It's the same thing. Like, why do that? Like, what are you getting out of that?
There was even a woman who set up a Facebook page claiming to be Tia's mother.
Why would you do that?
She said, I'm just a friend and I'm just really concerned. She felt like a daughter. And as far as I know, I don't even know if they knew her or not.
They probably didn't. That's the thing. People are
sick. The Scotland Yard Serious Crime Squad was brought on to help look through hours of CCTV footage from the shops and along the way to see if they could spot where Tia might have gone or where she was abducted. Now, from what I've read, London and the surrounding areas is one of the most surveilled area in the world. Did you know this?
Why? Just because it's...
I have no idea. In London alone, there are more than 500,000 CCTV cameras.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Just all throughout London. I don't know. Can't do anything if you want to get out. Yeah. The police were able to turn up one CCTV film that showed Tia. Now, this was from Thursday, and it was the day before she went missing. In the video, Tia is seen with Stuart. This is right after she had walked down to the tram and gotten her off the tram. She was seen walking and playing in the aisles and looking very happy. She was smiling and laughing. And after spending £40 on groceries, they left. You can see them walking out of the store.
Mm-hmm. And he accounted for that, right? Like, did he say that? That's okay.
Because this was before she went missing.
Okay.
Right? That Sunday, police go back into the grandparents' house and they do a 2-hour search. And they then search the woods that are close to the house.
Oh, no.
And Sunday evening, the family, all dressed in fine Tia t-shirts, they hold a candlelight vigil. And it's heartbreaking.
Terrible.
By Monday, August 6th, there had been 55 reported sightings of Tia, but she had yet to be found. Tia's stepfather, David, went on TV as sort of like a spokesperson, and he said, "I just want to thank everyone who has come out and been here to help us. I appreciate it so much. I love my kids to bits. Please keep on searching for my girl. The family, he said, were frantic with worry, and it's unthinkable, but you can't help fearing the worst. By Tuesday, August 7th, the newspaper The Sun offered a $25,000 reward for any information on Tia's disappearance. A local shopkeeper offered another $500. The police urged that if anyone sees Tia anywhere, or anyone matching Tia's description, to please get in touch with them. That's when a neighbor named Paul called the police and said he had spotted a Tia near her grandmother's house. It was about 12:10, and she was walking on her own towards a bus stop. Paul knew Tia. I mean, he knew her, and he could recognize her, said that he was really sure that it was her, and that he had seen her on Friday. And this was basically corroborating what Stuart had said, right? That she left at about noon, and Paul said that he saw Tia at noon. So the CCTV footage of Tia and Stuart was made public. They showed it on the TV. And people started noticing that the clothes that Tia was wearing on the footage was the same that was mentioned as her being last seen in, right? And then when they questioned Stuart, Stuart had said that her clothes had gotten dirty on Thursday, so he just washed them for her. And that is what she wore that next day.
She wore them 2 days in a row is what he's saying.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. I don't think I like Stuart.
On Wednesday, August 8th, police go back to Christine and Stuart's home to search with a sniffer dog. The search only lasted 20 minutes, but it was later said that the police claimed that the dog was so confused because there's so many people in the apartment, so many other things going on, there was smoke, that the dogs couldn't catch any scent, so they just called off the search.
Hmm.
But the search was only there for 20 minutes.
Hmm.
I said that, right? Did I say that?
No.
They only searched the house for 20 minutes. And then the dog couldn't handle it.
Poor doggo. That doesn't seem right, though.
It doesn't. Because sniffer dogs, what do we call them here? Search dogs?
Search dogs, yeah.
Yeah.
Search and rescue.
Yeah. I mean, they're trained to just sniff out certain things, so nothing else should bother them. Unless they're not properly trained.
Yeah. Sometimes they fail, but then they usually kind of take them out of that environment, give them a break, and then put them back, if I'm correct in that, which...
We're going to go with that. Let's spread that rumor. More than 80 officers are pulled from their shift from the Olympics. They had duties, you know, they were protecting people at the Olympics. They pulled like 80 officers from the Olympics, and they were sent out with search dogs, and they also put helicopters up in the air. Everybody was looking for Tia. They were searching the woods. They were searching buildings, lockups, garages, everywhere within like half a mile or 500 meters, which is a lot less than half a mile, around Tina's grandmother's house. So the media, which was constantly in front of Christine's house, I don't think they ever left. They saw two plainclothes detectives take Stuart into the police station for questioning. Now, this was a third time he was taken in, but he was the last person to see Tia, which is normal. And Stuart did all the interviews voluntarily. He never fought. He always went with them. He wanted to do whatever he could to help find Tia. After 2.5 hours of being questioned, they brought his ass back home.
Okay.
With all the media being around, the public starts pointing fingers at Stuart, as they do, correct? Just like everybody, you know, he did it. It's always, you know.
I'm hoping he didn't, because if he did, I'm going to be very upset.
It got bad. I mean, people were trolling the Facebook website, screaming crap at Stuart, all this. But Natalie's brother wrote on the Find Tia Facebook page that Stuart has done nothing wrong. The police are doing their job. Stop pointing your finger. We're not the sick family you're trying to make us out to be. And if you're not willing to help Tia, please leave this site. Everybody was standing up for Stuart, that he did have a criminal past, but it had nothing to do with Tia going missing. So Stuart felt that he needed to clear his name. Everybody had made public announcements.
No, you never do that.
Right. Everybody had made public announcements. Christine had made a statement to the media and the press, you know. He also wanted to plead for Tia's return, and he basically just wanted to tell the people that he had nothing to do with Tia's disappearance. So he was interviewed by former detective and child protection expert Mark Williams Thomas of the IVF News. which IVF reminds me of
in vitro fertilization.
Yes, which is kind of, yeah.
They inseminate your brain with what's going on in the news.
Thank you. Look at you.
That would be their tagline.
Stuart sat on the couch in the house and talked about Tia to the TV cameras. He said he knows he's the main suspect because he was the last one to see Tia. End quote. It's been horrible, horrible. You know what I mean? The family's stuck inside here. We've got all these papers outside all putting accusations down. And they ask me stupid questions yesterday, like, did you do anything? Well, no, I bloody didn't. Excuse my language, but I didn't. I would never think of that. I loved her to bits. That was his quote. Mark Williams Thomas was not convinced by what he saw, and he knew that Stuart was telling friends that he believed Tia had been snatched by a pedophile. So after the interview in the kitchen, Williams Thomas asked Stuart what he thought happened to Tina, and he replied, I think a Nazi has got her.
Nazi? Nazi?
Nance, N-O-N-C-E. That is British slang for pedophile. I asked.
Look at me. I learned something. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Nico.
I did. And he's like, oh, a nonce is kind of like a dummy. Like, you're such a nonce or whatever. And then later he asks his mom and dad, and she's like, oh my God, you're right. Yeah. So it must be a generational thing.
Oh.
I'm sorry. When Stuart was asked about his criminal record, he said, my previous has got nothing to do with it. Everyone's got a shady past. Did I do
anything? No, they don't.
Did I do anything to Tia? No, I bloody didn't. I'd never think of that.
If he did, I'm going to be so mad. I'm telling you right now.
The interview aired the next day on Thursday. On that Thursday, police started searching the trash dumpsters in the neighborhood. They used long sticks to poke and probe, looking for any clues they could find. Couldn't find a thing.
That's terrible.
At this time, Tia's grandmother, Christine, is brought into the station for questioning. And 2 hours later, she's dropped back home, and a sea of reporters just surround her and start hounding her with questions. And she just breaks down, and she starts to cry. And Stuart comes out and rescues her and holds her and hugs her and comforts her and brings her back into the house. And pretty much, he's not happy with the reporters. Now, after the interview aired, people were really starting to blame Stuart for Tia's disappearance. They claimed he looked really shifty and nervous, and his eyes and facial expressions, body language, just made them believe that he was lying. When the media would go to the police and say, you know, Stuart, he's got to be lying, they're like, you know what? I can't say that Stuart was the last one to see Tia because the neighbor Paul said he saw Tia at the same time. She was at the bus stop. There's a witness. There's a corroborating story here. We don't have anything. We don't have any evidence. We don't have any clues. We only can go by what they're doing, right? So on Friday, August 10th, Stuart gets up early and leaves the house, and he leaves a note for Christine saying that he's going to go for a walk to clear his head type thing. When Christine wakes up, she starts to smell something horrible, and she knew the cat has had a mess somewhere, and she starts looking for it, and she can't find it. And she searches the entire house. And later that morning, two women detectives arrive to talk to Christine. They were coming to get a jacket or something. And when Christine opens the door, she apologizes. And I thought, this just made me chuckle. She apologizes and tells them that the cat had shat somewhere, but she couldn't find it. And she was really sorry about the smell, right?
Oh, that's awful.
I know. We've all been there. I mean, it's bad enough you get company and you're not expecting it and your house is messy. But could you imagine having this weird smell and you know your cat has had an accident and you can't find it? It would be horrifying. And the media's outside, you know?
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Not Tia's house is missing, or, you know, Tia's missing and the grandmother's house smells like cat shit. But that just made me chuckle. Probably the only thing in, besides the burning of the pub, this made me laugh. Or when the police walk in, they're just kind of like, you know what? We want to do a house search. Could you please leave? Right? So as Christine stood outside, the media, of course, surrounded her, and they kept asking her where Stuart was, and she commented saying that Stuart was out looking for Tina, and, quote, I don't know where he is. He's out doing his own thing.
What? Red flag.
Well, she didn't know. He just left her a note. She woke up with a note saying that I've gone to a walk.
Yeah. Again, not the media's outside. That's not going to happen.
Well, if they leave early enough and they don't see
him. Yeah, but you're huddled together. You know what I mean? When a tragedy like that happens, you're usually surrounded by people and the media. Nope. it's never going to go away altogether. Somebody's going to stay there in case they want the breaking news and hope to get it before anybody else. So there's always going to be media there.
30 minutes later, after Christine was asked to leave outside, detectives came out and they left with brown evidence bag. One was marked duvet. At noon, a German Shepherd was brought in for what police told the media was a prearranged search. And they searched the house for a fourth time. Four times they searched the house.
Mm-hmm.
By 1 p.m., police had sealed off the area. By 4:45, it was announced that the body of Tia Sharp had been found and they were looking for Stuart Hazel for her murder. The police...
In the house?
Her body was found in the house, yes.
What? No.
I'll get to that. The police warned the public that Stuart is dangerous and not to approach him, but to call 999. They found Tia's body up in the attic. It had been wrapped in a black bedsheet and then wrapped in plastic trash bags, then taped up and left in the attic, only about 12 feet away from where the family slept. And due to the heat, poor little Tia's body was so badly decomposed that dental records were needed to make sure it was her. It was in the summer in the attic.
Was that the smell? Was that the smell?
That was the smell. It was not the cat. It was
that's horrendous.
Smell. And also, one of the things I read, a neighbor said that they had just moved in right before, and they kept smelling something weird in her daughter's room, but wasn't quite for sure what it was. But then they had moved out shortly after the smell started. Could you imagine?
No, it's awful.
And, you know, on the show that I watched, Christine said that when it was announced that they had found a body, that it didn't register that it was Tia's, that she's like, who? Whose body was found? That her son actually had to tell her that it was Tia.
I understand that.
Like, I totally understand that.
Yeah, blank it out. You know, it can't be real.
Tia's stepdad said, you know, are you sure it's not an animal of some sort?
Yeah. Well, you hope. Mm-hmm. You hope they have it wrong, you know?
Natalie was told that Tia's remains were found when she was at a friend's house. And later that night, she watched the TV as the police exited the house with all the bags of evidence and a large hold all or like a sports bag. It was a body bag. Came outside. She watched all of it come out, even poor little Tia's body. And Natalie later said she couldn't believe Tina was in something that small.
Oh, she was a little girl too. Little,
well,
small.
5'4" plus, yeah.
Yeah, just young. Ugh.
Just after 5 p.m., Stuart was spotted buying vodka in a nearby store. And according to the owner, Stuart said he was drunk and he said, help me find Tia. I can't sleep without her. And the owner commented that Stuart was very drunk and he was swaying all over the place. And he kept saying, I'm Tia's granddad and I need to find her. He was crying and hitting his head with his fists. The shop owner didn't realize who it was and she felt very sorry for him. And at one point, he pointed to a poster of Tia and said, I'm looking for her. And he came in two times in less than 10 minutes. And bought.
And that shop owner never like saw the news.
Well,
because I would think that was a huge news.
You would think, but if they're working, I don't know.
Yeah, but still.
Well, but listen to this. Stuart came in two times, less than 10 minutes apart. And in both instances, he bought a half gallon of vodka and a lighter. Like he was so drunk that he might have forgotten that he bought the liquor, or did he drink it that quick? Or I don't know.
Yeah.
At one point, when he was at the counter, he turned to an 11-year-old girl who was buying candy, and she was like, she stood behind him in line, and he turned to her and he asked, do you know Tia? Tia Sharp? And do you know where she is? And it scared the little girl. And the little girl is the one that actually told the shop owner that he was wanted for murder. After Stuart left the store, he walked up and down the street asking people if they knew where Tina was, and he was crying and going crazy. He'd walk into other stores doing the exact same thing that he did. I can't sleep without her. Where is she? I'm her granddad. I'm looking for her. The police were called, and finally, when they arrived, Stuart was nowhere to be found. They couldn't find him. So there was a huge manhunt.
Can't be that far away because he's drunk.
He wasn't. But 2 hours later, after dark, well, not 2 hours later, anyway, the police found him using thermal imaging from a helicopter. He had gone into the woods and covered himself with a blanket and hid under a log. Stuart was completely out of it. He was incredibly drunk. The police handcuffed him and brought him into the station. And as they drove away, it took 50 police officers to hold back the crowd of about 100. The crowd was screaming at Stuart, calling him an animal and scum, and some chased the van that they put him in, and some had, when the police was bringing him out, some put their keys in between their fingers, like they were going to punch him and like beat him. I mean, they wanted his blood.
Right.
And later, one of the onlookers were interviewed by the police, and they said that as Stuart left, they thought it looked like he was crying.
Probably was.
I'm thinking he was. Police also arrest Christine on suspicion of murder, and they arrest the neighbor, Paul, for suspicion of assisting an offender.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He hindered the case.
By saying he saw her?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't really see her?
No. And it's unclear why he actually even said he did. Now, supposedly the two knew each other, but Paul denies that he did it to help Stuart. Mm-hmm. He probably just wanted that fame. It's because it was an incredibly huge national case. I mean, everybody knew about it, and he might have wanted the attention for it. Now, the public, they're not only outraged by Stuart, they're pissed that the police bungled the entire investigation. I mean, how do you search this small apartment or condo and not find a body until the fourth search, right?
Right.
Police admitted that it was due to inexperienced police and human error were to blame. Like on the first search, it was dark and the guy that was sent up there was new. He shined the light and he saw the black bags, but instead of going to touch them or pick them up or anything like that, he just let it go. They were searching for a little girl, a live girl. They weren't searching for a body yet, right? So they went up there and searched and couldn't find anything. I get that, but still.
I do, but I don't. I mean, you just.
Well, it's even on an article that I read on the fourth search, one of the cadaver dogs actually pointed to the loft, and one of the detectives said, no, it's already been searched. We shouldn't even go up there. And they had to persuade him to let somebody go up there and search. And when they did, they saw the bag, ripped it open, and there was Tia's foot. Horrible, right? A retired detective chief superintendent attempted to explain to the press that, quote, the police are so concerned about being criticized that they will not act promptly and robustly like they once did, end quote. The police did end up issuing an apology to Tina's family for not finding the body sooner. I mean, they slept with poor little Tina.
Well, you know, and then I got to think, like, why didn't Stuart move her?
I think he probably was going to, but the media descended on him so much.
He couldn't
do it. I mean, he just, it was 36 hours later, he couldn't do it. And I don't know. It just horrible. I mean, he even did that TV interview and she wasn't very far away, up in the attic.
That happens all the time. Unreal.
Christine was released on bail the following evening, but she was not allowed to be in any contact with any family members. And Christine states that if she would have known that Stuart had hurt Tia, that it'd be a totally different story. Stuart would be dead, Tia would still be at home, and she would be in jail for killing Stuart. Christine.
Hindsight's 20/20, though, you know?
I know. Well, you never think. He was so supportive.
No, of course not.
And he didn't bat an eye the entire time.
Well, and the whole fact that the little girl wanted to go hang out with them tells me that he had not hurt her previously,
right.
Or I don't think so, because I don't think she'd want to go over there.
No, she was excited to go over there.
Yeah.
And there was really nothing to say that he was grooming her. You know, the other grandkids loved him, too. Like, they all loved Stuart. He never...
Did he have a drinking problem? Like, did he get drunk?
He did, but he wasn't allowed to drink in the house. Because he was violent, but he wasn't allowed to do that then.
Yeah. Right?
An autopsy was performed on Tia's body on Saturday, but since the body was so badly decomposed, a cause of death could not be determined. In fact, two postmortems were done before they released Tia's body to the family. In both postmortems, nothing was found. No broken bones, no wounds of any kind, no drugs or chemicals in the system. Nothing. They could not find a cause of death. It's still unknown what caused her death.
Really?
Yep. It's atypical. I mean, no natural disease, nothing. On February 6th, Paul Meehan, the neighbor who reported to the police that he saw Tia on that Friday she went missing, was sentenced to 5 months on the charge of wasting police time. He had to spend 5 months in prison for lying to the police. And that they would have honed in on Stuart. A lot.
Wonder why he did that. Like, I wonder what.
I saw a picture of him and he looked normal. I mean, it didn't look like he was. You know what I'm saying?
Psycho. I got you.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. he didn't look like what you'd think an idiot would look like, but I'm surrounded by idiots all the time. Who knows? Stewart's murder trial was set for Wednesday on May 8th, 2013, but until the court date, he was kept on a 24-hour watch in high-security Belmarsh prison. He had been receiving death threats from other prisoners, so he was being kept in isolation on a wing that only housed pedophiles and rapists.
Ugh.
And he also was trying to commit suicide the entire time.
They don't like that in prison, let me tell you.
No, they don't. Stewart pleaded not guilty, stating that, quote, he had been playing with her on top of the stairs, but not in a sexual way, and she fell down and broke her neck. He said he then took Tia upstairs to bed, thinking she would get better. He then said that he panicked and didn't know what to do, so he put her body in the attic and covered it with a blanket. Now, we all know she wasn't found with the blanket. She was found in a bed sheet and then two trash bags. They said it was wrapped in tape, that it looked like a cocoon.
Mm-hmm. So, I got questions. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, prosecution at the trial addressed the court. And they said, you know, there are two people in the house the night that Tia died. And it was up to the jury to decide if it was an accident or a murder. Mm-hmm. And he also said that the evidence the prosecution would show the jury would be very distressing.
So was there signs of sexual abuse or sexual assault? Or
the prosecution had evidence that Stewart was sexually attracted to Tia. Tia's death was a result of a sexual attack in which Stewart then smothered Tia. There'd been no evidence of a broken neck or skull fracture during the autopsy.
So how did she die?
They believe she was smothered, that he smothered her.
Oh, that makes sense. Huh.
Some of the evidence that they found on Stewart's phone, they found he had been searching child pornography. He had Googled images with girls with glasses and a ponytail. In other words, girls that looked like Tia.
Mm-hmm.
And the search history, police saw that Stewart had searches of a website that was popular with pedophiles. And other searches included phrases such as, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Naked little girlies.
Ew.
Young girlies. School girl nudes. Underage photos. Young girls nude.
I get the point.
Listen.
It's terrible.
Here's daddy daughter pictures.
Ew.
Illegal underage incest pics. Little girls with glasses. And violent forced rape. I popped that pee.
That's disgusting.
And after, after hearing all of this, Natalie screamed at the court. He's like, I hope you rot in hell. And then they assisted her out of the courtroom. Not because she was in trouble for saying that, but she was, I don't know how she could stand in there. I just couldn't do it. So on the last search of the house, the police found memory sticks from the Stewart's camera. Stewart had hidden the memory sticks in the house. One was on top of a door frame, and another memory card was hidden in the electric meter cupboard.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Both contained pornography featuring young girls, including grade one pornographic images of young girls. Now, grade one is when they are clothed but in erotic poses. Maybe they're in their underwear or swimsuits.
It's disgusting.
Another two of the images featured bestiality.
Oh, lovely.
And there's a number of professional-looking pornographic photos with young teenage girls wearing glasses while performing sexual acts.
That's so weird. It's so weird to think that he was so good to her and didn't.
Well, they think as she got older,
mm-hmm.
he started fantasizing about her, and he really, truly believed that she loved him. Not like a grandfather, but like loved him.
Ugh. Yeah, right.
Police found that Stewart had been secretly filming Tia in the weeks before her disappearance. One video is of Tia putting lotion on her legs, and I'm assuming it's after a shower because she was naked. And other videos were of Tia sleeping along with 11 still shots. And one of the photos had the date of April 2009. So this had been going on for years.
That is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Now you're really going to hate this because the last picture on the memory card was the most disturbing, and they did show the photograph to the
jurors,
to the courtroom. Yeah. The photograph was of a naked prepubescent girl The face cannot be seen, but the prosecution said that it was Tia Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
The body was on the bed at her grandmother's home, and it was stated that it was after Stuart had killed her.
That was my next question.
There was blood. Oh, there was blood visible on the bedding in the pictures, and in the corner of the photograph, one of Tia's dolls could be seen. This is the gross part.
That, like, that wasn't gross? I mean, this, all that you just said?
Disturbing. This is the most disturbing part to me.
That's what you said a while ago.
This is the continuation. Tia had been posed on all fours, and the picture was taken from behind. A pathologist said the irregular modeling on the buttock and back of thighs is suggestive that Tia was dead at the time of the photo, and her body had been lying on her back for a while before she was posed and photographed.
Oh my God.
Tia's phone record showed that the last communication she had with a friend was at 12:42 a.m., and the photo had been taken sometime between 3 and 6 a.m. on the morning she supposedly disappeared. Now, the prosecution agreed that just because the body was naked and in a sexual pose did not mean that Tia had been killed during a sexual assault. But in fact, in the drawer next to the bed was a marital aid with blood on it, which matched Tia's blood. There was also semen on Tia's duvet cover, pillowcase, and on Tia's nightclothes that matched Stuart's by a billion to one.
I hate him.
Not only did Stuart hide Tia's body in the attic, he also hid another trash bag containing incriminating items in the attic. Bag contents included his t-shirt, which was found to have Tia's blood on it, jeans, a pair of trainers or tennis shoes here in the States, Tia's top, leggings, and Nikes that she had been said to worn, a pair of Stuart's glasses, which had been broken, and one of Tia's fingerprints were on the lens. There was a jacket that had traces of Stuart's DNA inside the collar and Tia's blood on the outside.
You know, I think there's
a special.
How many times can I say this? A special place in hell for somebody who
hell's really big
wins the trust mm-hmm. of a child and then does that. I like, that's so much worse to me than just a crime of passion or a, you know, crime of opportunity. Mm-hmm. They're all terrible, but
the people of the court also heard that. Third day after Tia was reported missing, while her body was rotting alone in the dark attic, Stuart tried to access an incest sex website on his phone. While people were out looking for Tia, he was trying to get child porn on his phone.
He was trying to get off.
Horrible.
I hope he's dead. Mm-hmm. Is he?
No. On the third day of the trial, the prosecution brought in staff from the prison where Stuart was being held, said that Stuart actually believed the police should investigate his neighbors, and because he had been set up. And it was the neighbors that moved Tia's body into mm-hmm. his attic of the house.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Because the mm-hmm. buildings and had terraces and they were all interconnecting. And mm-hmm. he believed that somebody deliberately put Tia's body above his house. Mm-hmm.
And those media reporters outside, nobody noticed that. They never noticed that.
And he also claimed that he was just too big, so it was impossible for him to get up in the loft. And he told them that it was the Somali neighbors. And the prison staff was to tell the police to look at those because they're the Bacons, not me. I guess Bacon is a prison slang for sex offender. Yeah.
Yeah, pig. Mm-hmm. You know what? And then the other part of this is to have this man in your home as your significant other and then also like to trust him
completely
with everything.
Yeah, they were together for 5.5 years. I mean, they knew each other for 10, but they had lived together for about close to 6 years. Mm-hmm. So on Monday, the prosecution had, I guess it started on a Wednesday, Friday, they mm-hmm. went for the weekend. Monday came. Court was late to get started. Reason was, Stuart decided to plead guilty. Good. With everything that the prosecution brought as evidence, there was no way Stuart would ever make any kind of defense with that. No way. Mm-mm. And Stuart's lawyer, or barrister, told the court, quote, he wanted it to be known that he thinks Tia's family have suffered enough. He does not want to put them through any further stage of this process.
Oh, well, isn't that nice of him?
And then the jury was then asked to formally find Stuart guilty. But before sentencing, the lawyer told the court about how Stewart had had an awful childhood, because they all do, right? Mm-hmm. His father was in prison for most of Stewart's life, and his mother was working as a prostitute, and Stewart had been placed in care as a young kid, put in foster care, I guess, or whatever care they have over there. He began drinking at the age of 13 and became independent on alcohol. His first conviction was when he was 14. And by this time, he was homeless. He was abusing drugs and alcohol. And he also claimed to be sexually assaulted in a hostel at 16. Mm-hmm. He had a psychiatric history of depression, self-harm, and suicide attempts. And actually, a psychiatrist for the court diagnosed him with antisocial conduct disorder, which is aggression towards people and animals. Mm-hmm. And he did have a very violent temper, and he admitted that he had a violent temper, hence the assault charges and prison stay. He then went on to say that Stewart was a man who, quote, extraordinary capacity for living through lies that he has made up. The easiest thing for Stewart to do would have been to brazen out the rest of this case, possibly, or not to give evidence. His decision to plead guilty today is probably the bravest decision he's ever made in his entire life. Perhaps the only brave decision. And
that's what I would say. And I don't even think I'd call it brave.
And Stewart was then sentenced to life imprisonment with a minimum of 38 years. By the time he's 75 is when he'll be up for parole.
Good.
But
he's right where he needs to
be. And, you know, like the police later, this is already long enough, so I couldn't really get into how much the police messed up this investigation. Like, they had no idea Stewart was even going to be interviewed for TV. When they go back to look at that interview, there are so many glaring signs that he was the one that killed Tia by his body language, by like his ears would like go red from blood pressure for the lies, like his terms. Mm. He would use Tia's activity in the past tense. That's what I'm trying to say. Past tense.
I knew what you meant.
But yeah, like the police were so. I don't know. I think they always had him as a suspect, but they just couldn't get around the guy, the neighbor that saw Tia. But yet she wasn't on any CCTV cameras. Nobody saw her except the one guy, you know? It's just horrible.
And there had to be people. I mean, it would be a little bit, I don't know, like if I got on a train, like the Metrolink or a bus here, and I noticed a little cute little girl by herself, I probably would note that, so meaning that there would have to be somebody else that would have
but
seen
her. But if it's crowded, if you wouldn't.
One person, though.
I know.
Versus one, meaning like I would think there would be at least somebody else, not just the guy that said he saw
her. Well, there was like, I think, upwards of 60 sightings, but only one credible. So I don't know. It was just a horrible case. And, you know, as I was researching it, you know, my favorite place for resources is newspapers.com, and it's mostly American papers. Only two or three big national papers had Tia Sharp's case in it. I mean, you would think, I guess we have our own horrible things happen in the U.S. that it takes up our pages, but it was not known in the U.S., the United States. Horrible, wasn't it?
That wasn't even that long ago.
No.
All right, Jen, that was a really good one. That was
horrible. Horrible. Case.
Horrible, but what a way to
start off
get
the
us
new
going
year.
Back into the new year, right?
Yep.
Oh, God. Don't forget, hey, you guys, if you like this episode or you like us, go ahead and be a deer that we know you are. Be a plum, if you will, and reach out and give us a rating or leave us a comment on iTunes or anywhere, Facebook, any of those things, because we love it. It makes us happy.
And we've got a whole list of names that we're going to start doing shout outs on the next episode. We just didn't. Due to the holidays and stuff, we didn't have time to gather all those, but we totally appreciate you do leaving comments. Puts a total bright spot in our day, week, year. Totally low podcast self-esteem here.
Totes.
And also, just tell your friends about us. If you like us, if you hate us, tell your friends. Get the word out. Spread it like Camille's legs. Wide.
I knew you were going to say that.
You're just waiting for it. Yeah.
I knew it.
But anyway.
You are a bad person.
Tell your friends. Tell your coworkers. Share the
love
of what the OTCP is. Whatever.
All right. Very good.
We need to get our name out there.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, what?
Remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Jen. For more information about this episode, as well as all other sources, please check out our show notes or the podcast website at ourtruecrimepodcast.com. Our True Crime Podcast is developed and created by the hosts, Jen and Cam. Original music and audio mix of all our True Crime Podcast episodes is courtesy of Nico Vertese from We Talk of Dreams. You can reach Nico at wetalkofdreams.com. Listener discretion is provided by Edward October from Octoberpod VHS. You can find all of his great works on YouTube. Please make sure to like and subscribe to our True Crime Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. We can be reached on Instagram and Facebook at Our True Crime Podcast or on Twitter with the handle at Our True Crime Pod. You can also email us at ourtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. We would also at this time like to thank our patrons. We would be so lost without you. Thank you so much. And if you would like to help support the show, you can check us out on patreon.com/ourtruecrimepodcast. You can also show your support by leaving a 5-star review on Apple or simply just tell your friends about us. It's that easy. Love ya.
Okay. Well, I'll let it stay in your head.
Thanks.
Because I don't get what you're saying. What was that? The cat?
The cat. Because the minute I start talking, it knows.
She knows.
He's an asshole.
Oh, that's Buster?
Yeah.
Yeah, Buster's an asshole. But he just thinks you're talking to him. That's all.
I think that's it. I really do. Like, I think that they think is. That.
It is. They are a little bit like you, where they just think everything revolves around
it's
them.
It's true. Just that mm-hmm. one, though. Well, yeah. And maybe the dog a little bit, but.
Yeah, should we? This sounds bad.
I don't think it sounds bad. It's going to be choppy. I told you, it's like. Kind of like swimming again. I forget. You know, I've worn makeup once this entire break. That's crazy.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't done anything.
Well, no, I haven't done much either except try to get by with my family.
That's what I'm saying. Difficult. I feel a little off kilter. Like tomorrow I'll wake up and I'll forget like either blush or mascara because that's, you know what I'm saying? Like a
bit, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Yep. I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. That's all the words I know to that song. Ready to fall in love. There you go.
With you.
There you go. Someone can sing better than the other person, but we'll let everybody else decide who that is.
Not very fair that Reggie can sing better than us all. Anyway.
There's ready? That. Yes, please.
Of 2012. But in early August of 2012.
Fucking cat. And it like, it's just, if I let it out, then it's going to want in, right? And then it'll be, hold on, let me get rid of her. Don't keep it running, though. Keep it recording. Go.
Tia Sharp was born... Tia Sharp was born. Sorry, Nico. I had the hardest time getting into the groove of writing this and then getting into the groove of saying it now.
That's how I feel awkward. Like, I feel like people are standing and laughing at me right now.
They are.
Because it's weird.
They're probably not standing. They're probably laying on the couch or in bed going, oh my God, these two.
Right.
They're a mess. Hot freaking tire fires, these two.
This is where Nico could help us out.
Yeah.
You could just... Put a little.
You could kind of add something, Nico, and kind of put a mansplaining thing.
There you go. Yep, right there.
You could be our name.
Hello.
Mansplainer.
I'm Nico, and I'm here to clarify what Jen and Cam just said.
They barely know the United States system, so I'm going to tell you what the British truth. System is.
Mm-hmm. True.
In 2008, social services raised concerns over Natalie and David's cannibal use.
Cannibal? They ate people?
Shit.
I would definitely.
They did.
Now,
that's
let me
the
tell you
whole
right now.
Story here.
If I got a set of parents and they're eating people, yeah, we're gonna. That's definitely going to be a visit from DFS. Just
you
saying. Yes,
Are
I do.
You seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Well, it just depends on who it is, I guess. You know, I don't know.
Tia texts Stuart.
Stuart. Mad TV people. Mad TV.
I know. Stuart. I can't say that without
That's what I keep thinking of,
Stuart!
Too.
Stuart!
Third, get up off the ground now, Stuart.
Mom, I don't want to.
Look what I can do. Look what I can do. My kids are 13 and 11, and they still say that. Look what I can do. Mom, 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 look what I can do. Mom, you're not watching. Okay. And in the video. And in the video
today on our show, video. We have a very special video.
By Monday, Monday,
stormy Monday.
By Monday, August 6th, there had been 55.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays. Tell me why.
All right. Offered a $25,000 reward for any information on Tia's. Are you all right there?
No, it's my cats fighting.
Oh, good.
God dang it.
Pussy fight.
They don't do anything. And then when I'm busy, this is what they do.
Are they fighting over you?
Who knows? They're jerks. Go ahead. Do they not know that we are celebrities and we are doing something
in
right
our own
now?
Mind.
God.
And this corroborated.
And this is 2020.
I know.